It is 1 o'clock, so we should begin our Super Tathis today. This is Super Tathis for Parshas Pinchas. We will begin with our three stories. The first story is actually a really clever story about the Minchas Chinuch, who wrote the Minchas Chinuch on the Sefer HaChinuch, an extraordinary Lamdan. And he was appointed to become the Av Beis Din in a city called Chernobyl. So what happened was he eventually got to wherever he was going. There was a reception, and he was greeted by a group of individuals. And these individuals came up to him, and he said, "The Rav should know that there were some people in the community who wanted to have you, and there were some people who didn't really want to have you, but there was a, there was eventually a discussion, a little bit of a whatever, and we were the ones who prevailed, so we just wanted you to know that as you're coming in, so you understand the tapestry of the community." So the Minchas Yincha, and toward the end of the conversation, he also mentioned that they had a very complex Beis Din case with other people in town, and they were the ones who supported the Rav, and of course, the opponents in the Beis Din case were not his supporters. So the Minchas Chinuch understood quite quickly that everything that they were doing when they were kind of buttering up a little bit, when they said that they had fought for him and others didn't, that this was really just trying to flatter him. And to get him on their side for the Beis Din case. So he said back to them, he said, "Doesn't it say, by B'nos Slavachad, they say, Avinu Meis B'midbar, V'lu Ayao P'toch Eido Hanu Adim Al Hashem V'Alas Korach." So it's they B'nos Slavachad say, our father died in the Midbar, and he wasn't among the Korach, the members of the Korach rebellion who rebelled against you. Oh, all of a sudden we see a pattern. So he says, he wasn't part of this. He was on your side. And when Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, what happened? V'karev Moshe es mishpatan lifnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu recused himself from the din of Bnos Slavchad. And similarly, the Minchas Chinuch said, also I can't be a dayan for you in your case if you're telling me that these are those facts. So I thought that was very, very clever. Next story I have is the story about the Chidah. The Chidah was going to Eretz Yisrael, and his Rebbe was the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and they spent a little time together before he left, and the Or HaChaim gave him a note to put in the Kosel HaMa'aravi when he got to Eretz Yisrael. So the Chidah said, of course I accept the Shlichus, and he took it along with him, and finally, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, the Chidah had a hanhaga when he went there, is to basically not to to show off his rabbanus or anything, but to just to be a normal person and to hide his godlessness, tzadkus. And so he rented a horse and a buggy. And he tried to sell a couple things so he could make a couple, a couple coins and survive. But once in the middle of the road, all of a sudden, this horse that he expended all this money for just died on the side of the road. And the Chidah said, this something weird has happened. I need to do a cheshbon and nefesh. I need to do a spiritual accounting. Say, what happened? And he looked into a thing. And he while he was doing that, he remembered in his cloak, all of a sudden he said, oh, I see the petek my Rebbe gave me. I have to go take this to the Kosel HaMa'aravi immediately. So the Chidah, he was clear that this was the chait that got him in trouble, that got his, only these kinds of stories, Sfardim could do this. He wanted to know what happened. He said he fasted, he engaged in all kinds of extreme tshuva, And then finally, he took the paper to the Kosel Maharavi, and he went into the Beis Medrash. And when he went there, all of a sudden, everybody saw he was glowing. You know, they could kind of see the Kedusha. All of a sudden, people kind of started talking to him and learning. They gave him all this kavod, and the manig of the area finally came up to him, and he kind of, you know, they were talking back and forth and learning, and finally the chacham came up to him and said, I just want you to know, you should probably know what the petek said. Just so you have an appreciation of this, and whenever, because I guess the Chacham could figure it out, and they opened up the petek, and it only had a few words in it. Ani mevakesh shetavol Ezra letalmidi hayakar b'shas mitzukaso, meaning the whole purpose of the petek from the Or HaChaim was a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help the chido in his time of need. So there's a lot of really beautiful lekachs of the story. There's tshuva, there's being a person of your word, and there's all this other stuff. But I think that one of the most important messages is when you are doing a chesed for some other people, don't be so clear in yourself that you're losing out and somebody else is gaining. I think that it's very, very important that we look at chasadim as opportunities and benefits for ourselves. David HaMelech has this idea with all of Avodas Hashem. He says, Taranenas v'asai ki yazam relach. My lips are singing because I can praise you. This is what we live for. And we should not look at this as an inconvenience or a speed bump or anything else. But sometimes it's very, very clear and sometimes it's less, but we should always remember. Next, we have a Mesorah that Pinchas and Eliyahu are one of the same. So I have two really cool stories about this. One, there was kind of a troubled person went to Rav Steinman, and he came and he said that, I am Eliyahu HaNavi, I'm coming to tell everybody about the Gula. So Rav Steinman came up to him and said, oh, Eliyahu HaNavi, we've been waiting for you. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful that you came. We've been waiting for years and years and years. Do you mind sitting down with me for a few minutes and explaining all of the tekus in the Gemara? Because I've been waiting for this day, and I don't think I can wait any longer. So obviously this person was a disturbed person, and when he heard this, all of a sudden he decided that he was going to find his way to the door, and he left. So the word teku is tishvi yitaritz, Kushios Uboyus, meaning to say that, if you're Eliyahu HaNavi, you can answer all of these tough sugyas and shas that the Amoras were puzzled about. A similar story, which I also love, is about the Yismach Moshe. So somebody came to him and he said, Rebbe, 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 I saw Eliyahu HaNavi in the night. It was amazing gilui. It's unbelievable. He was revealed. He was going in the middle of the road, right in the middle of the dark night. So the Yismach Moshe says, oh, was he tall? Yes. Exactly. He was very, very tall. He said, did he have a ladder and like a bag of some sort? He said, yes, yes, absolutely. You got it just right. He said, and was he... very dark of complexion, it looked like, he said, yes, absolutely, you got it, perfect. He says, I'm very, very sorry, but I think you found the chimney cleaner and not Eliyahu HaNavi. So it's like, it's a good story because both of these stories are both like an appreciation that, you can see in these, and it's important 3 weeks to mention, everybody's excited about when Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. We're going to hear the news about, Yemos Mashiach coming and everything. We're ready for the Geula and we're waiting, anticipating. Sometimes that excitement can get out of hand and get misplaced. And I think that on the one hand, the sense of humor, and on the other hand, the genteel nature of these Gedolim, the way that they dealt with people whose excitement might have gotten away with them, is really many different layers of good muster for us. A few things. Uvnei Korach Lo Mesu, a little Chassidish Torah, Menachem Mendel of Rimanov says, Bnei Korach Lo Mesu means that there's always people like Korach in every generation. Evan Shlema, Rav Meltzin says, every generation there's a new group of the Erev Rav that's trying to take the crown away from Chochmei Yisrael, and it's the job of the leaders to, you know, to try to figure out what to deal with that. So I think that it's very important to just know the Yetzer Hara shows up in a lot of different ways, but there's always a way people are always looking to go after Jewish leadership, and we need to understand that the Yetzer Hara is alive and well, and be mindful. There are people, you know, you want to hear about the Rav's Drusher, the Rav's Shir, all of a sudden it turns in Lashon Harafest. That is a quick downward spiral. We need to be very careful, especially when we talk about our leadership. Chafetz Chaim talks about how it could discredit them, and Chas V'Shalom, we don't want to go down that road. Next, I was just recently at a place we were talking about, Yoshvei Kronos, so I saw in the name of Rav El Yoshev, we say, Moda ani lefanecha to Hashem, shesamta chelki miyoshvei beis hamedrash, velo samta chelki miyoshvei Kronos. So the question is, why is it when we say the people who sit in the beis medrash, there's just one singular beis medrash, and when it says Yoshvei Kronos, you know, the bums, the people who are, you know, out in the, you know, evenings, you know, on Shabbos afternoon, instead of going to shir or going to learn, chavrusa or whatnot, they're, you know, they're out listening to their radio or chilling out or whatever it is that they're doing. Why is it that in plural? Why is there many Kronos? He says it's very simple, says Rav Yoshev. He says, the Yoshvei Kronos are looking for self-satisfaction in the wrong things. They're looking for pleasure. When you're a pleasure seeker, pleasure is momentary, and you need to go from place to place, from thing to thing, from idea to idea to idea, and you'll never be happy. When you're looking for nitzchius, that's something which can satisfy you instantaneously. It's not to say that you don't want more, but olam hazeh, this world, it's like salt water. The more you drink, the more you want, and you can't satisfy yourself, so you have to go to Karen, to Karen, to Karen, to Karen, to corner, to corner, to corner, to corner. And we just need to take a moment to take stock and inventory to think about the true wealth that we have in the Torah and in learning and in mitzvahs as well. Okay, two more Divrei Torah I hope we can fit in. So we talked a little bit about the Rav Steinman story and the tekus. Why is Eliyahu Davka the one who is the one who resolves all the tekus? We could go to Moshe, we could go to Avram Avinu, we could go to Hillel and Shammai. The Kedushas Levi says it's very simple. We have this concept of Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. By Hillel and Shammai, you know, we're not saying one's right and one's wrong. It's saying that in this circumstance, who's right and who's not. The famous story of Lo Bashamaimi and the Tanur Shachnai Rav Eliezer ben Horkinus. There, the Ein Yaakov brings a Meforesh, I'm trying to remember who it is, I forget offhand, that says that it's not that Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was wrong. He was wrong in this world. He was right for the Olam HaAtzilus. So he says we need somebody who is alive in this world who can understand the approach. And the Mabit expands on that. He says, look, none of the Avos really knew so much about what happened in the world after their deaths. But Eliyahu keeps coming back here and sees what happens. He's at every Bris Milah. He's there at Motzei Shabbos. He keeps coming and helping tzaddikim in his special role in the world. And since he's most up to tune to what the world needs, he knows which of the Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim is appropriate for the moment. So he's the one who's going to be Mitaritz, the Kushios and Bayos. A very, very interesting idea. Next, we say the korban for Rosh Chodesh is a sir chatas l'Hashem, and that lashon is different from when it shows up in other places. The Gemara in Shavuos says a Kodesh Baruch Hu says a very strange phrase. It's a kapara. It should be an atonement. This korban should be brought as an atonement for Hashem. Shemi'atati es hayareach, that I made the moon small. So this hearkens to the Chazal that the sun and the moon started at the same size, but they fought. They said, you know, we can't have two chiefs here. And the moon got the short end of the stick and became small. So the Guri says Hashem regretted what he did. The other Rishonim, like the Tosis and the Rif, say this was really just to appease the moon. Like kapara doesn't mean atonement. It means to kind of appease, as it were. The Tosis Arush says, no, we're really teaching Derech Eretz. If a servant wrongs a master, the master still goes to appease the servant. And this is obviously lesson to a parent. And the Efei Toar, Meforish on the Medrash, says, indeed, this is only to teach Derech Eretz, like when a Kodesh Baruch Hu uses a phrase, Naisa Adam, like Naisa Adam B'Tzalmeinu. The Lev Aryeh has a different approach. He says the concern was not why to make the sun bigger, but was why don't we make the sun bigger instead of making the moon smaller? And the answer was that the world wasn't roy, wasn't suitable for such a light. We have this concept of the Ora Ganuz LeTzadikim, which is set aside for a future date, which should come very soon. But they, we need to perfect the world further to be able to get suitable and worthy of such a light, which is why they have to bring this korban. This korban is going to be a method for us to be able to be worthy of that light, which we should all be zocha for. And I will give you a hint, which I guess can be our thinking question, even though I had another one. For those who had the summary, please take a look at the summary for another thinking question. But the Maisa Hashem says the whole thing is a mushel. It's talking about the division of the world between Yaakov and Esav, and you'll have to fill in the blanks. Thanks, everyone, for learning. Shkoyach, and have a good Shabbos.